Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each and every one this morning, and I tell you, he's singing well. Praise God. Isn't the Lord good?
Amen.
Praise God. God bless each and every one, and we do give everyone a warm welcome in their service this morning. And we just trust the Lord will bless each and every one. Just a few announcements. Monday night, I'll be in Market Hill Christian Fellowship with a brother, Nathan. Is that right? Names. Nathan Poots. He's no young brother, Nathan. He'll be preaching, and he's asked me to come and give my testimony. And it's always a privilege to give you a testimony.
Yeah.
So I'll be giving my testimony on Monday night, Market Hill. So come along if you're free. And then Wednesday night, this Wednesday night, I'm not going to preach so much. We're going to have communion and feet washing this Wednesday night, the Lord willing. Then next weekend, I'm away to Limerick. And Limerick's known as Stab City. And I'm preaching down there over the weekend for Brother Keith Malkison in the Pentecostal Church. And he was telling me that his song leader was a real bad boy, was one of the top gang men down there, but the Lord saved him and delivered him.
Amen.
And he's reaching people in Limerick with the gospel.
Glory.
And I don't know, some people know Keith, but you might not know much about Keith, but Keith Malkison writes books. He's wrote a book on the Scarlet Woman, he's wrote a book on the Pentecostal Forefathers, he's wrote many books. He's a very inspired man, and I believe a young man of God. And me and Keith Malkison went to a service with Davy McConville many years ago, and a man called Sidney Thompson prophesied over the both of us. And the thing Sidney Thompson prophesied has come to pass. He prophesied over my Uncle John as well, by the Wellington boots. And he wouldn't always be wearing Wellington boots. I was in the service. And John could tell you himself, there was a photograph when Brother John went to England to give his testimony about the angels. I have the photograph somewhere. It was a poster that was made with a brother in England. That poster is word for word, picture-wise, the prophecy that that man prophesied. Everything he said was in that picture. I was there, heard it, and I saw the picture.
Hallelujah.
So God makes no mistakes.
Oh. Amen.
So pray for all these services, and pray the Lord will have his way, and we'll be back again today, 3:30, the Lord willing, for our evening service. And I hope everybody's enjoying the times. I think it's working out all right. These are quiet.
Hallelujah.
Well, hopefully it's working out the times for the winter. Praise God. And my dad wants to thank everyone that's prayed for him. The Lord has touched him and strengthened him. And I believe God's going to completely heal him. And I know people that ideas of what will go wrong with him. Everything's come back. All the tests have come back and there's nothing wrong. And we're believing God.
Amen.
Amen. For God is good. Amen. Praise God. Let us turn to Daniel chapter 4. I'm sure I've forgotten something, but anyhow. Daniel chapter 4. Next Sunday, Brother John and Samuel will be preaching because I'll be in Limerick, and I hope I've told you the right name, Limerick. Get mixed up. It is Limerick. Limerick. And Brother John and Samuel are preaching. They can decide who does the morning, who does the evening. And just pray for brothers as they do the services. Daniel chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. And this is about the three. It's known as the three in the Bible. Now, when I read this chapter 4, I've read it a lot of times. You've read it. Skipped over it, you think there's not much in it. Well, I can tell you there's a lot in this chapter 4. So much that there's no way I'll even finish it today. I wouldn't think. I'll probably try and hit the highlights. There's so many avenues you can go with it. But there's something in this I believe God showed me. And I want to try and bring it this morning. Nebuchadnezzar the king unto all people, verse 1, nations and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God have wrought toward me. How great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. And if you have a need, just lift your hand up to the Lord this morning. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for the word of truth. For we know that your word is a lamp unto our feet and it is a light unto our path. We thank you that the light shineth in the darkness and the darkness comprehended it not. We thank you, Lord, that you are Almighty God and beside thee there is no other. For thou hast made the heavens and the earth and thou hast done all things well. Lord, we've come to praise you and magnify you this morning to acknowledge you that you're our Lord and Savior, our healer, our baptizer of the Holy Ghost, amen, and our soon coming King. We worship you, Lord, with all of our hearts, yes, and all of our might, amen, and all of our soul, and all of our body, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus Christ today. Lord, we would praise your name. We would enter your courts with thanksgiving, yes, and enter your courts with praise. We would say, this is the day the Lord has made. Yes. We will rejoice and be glad. Father, you see the hands raised this morning. Hallelujah. You know the need. Lord, I ask for the manifestation upon the people that's raised their hand in an answer of prayer, healing, deliverance, whatever it may be, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We say amen to what's been prayed, and we say again, touch your sisters' hands, yes, with a mighty touch of heaven. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Touch my Father with a mighty touch from heaven. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Touch all that need your touch this morning. Strengthen your people, Lord. Open your word to us, Lord. May the Holy Spirit come, and we know you're already here, Lord. We sense your presence, that we're two or three are gathered in your name. You promised to be in the midst and that to bless us.
Hallelujah.
Lord, I take the promised Holy Ghost to help me. And I thank you that you do. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. When you read this chapter, this is a chapter of the insanity and the recovery of Nebuchadnezzar. This is a statement in these opening verses. This is a Babylonian statement, a document. It is a proclamation of King Nebuchadnezzar. The whole word was issued in B.C. when he wrote this in 562, the year he recovered from his insanity. Nebuchadnezzar, we've saw through the first three chapters how that he worshipped other gods. He was a pagan king, worshipped pagan gods. And we've saw the many times that God brought him deliverance, the many times God interpreted through God's servant Daniel, and he named him after his gods. Belteshazzar was the gods of Nebuchadnezzar. And that's why he gave Daniel the name after his gods. And we saw the first image of the Roman Empire's house come from the golden head of Nebuchadnezzar right down to the clay, into the very toes, right to this present day. Then we saw, as we went on, the golden image was set up of Daniel the prophet, and he proclaimed that everybody must worship this golden image, but the three Jews would not worship it. Neither would they bow to it. And we saw how they were thrown into the furnace of fire. But God sent down the fourth man, the Son of God, into the midst of the burning fiery furnace, and he rescued Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. All these occasions, King Nebuchadnezzar praises God, but he never once tells the people to worship God, or never once tells the people to believe in God. He doesn't say it like that. And he says, no, I mentioned it in the other messages. I'm not going to go back too far. But this morning we're seeing this proclamation. God deals with him again. Because of his pride, because of his life, because he proclaims what he has done. And if you research this, you will see great buildings, over 50 tremendous buildings that Nebuchadnezzar built. And they say his name was on the very bricks of stone in every single building in the province of Babylon. That golden image he erected was 90 feet high, so it was massive. You could see it from anywhere. And here he is, he still never learned his lesson. He still never fully trusted in God. He makes these statements, you'd think it was a believer talking, but then again he goes back and he persecutes God's people, and God deals with this man, and God brings this man to his knees. And this proclamation, it was attended as a confession of a sin of pride, an explanation of the cause of insanity. of his conversion to the service of the Most High. The tone of it is marked in a marked contrast with his previous utterances and salutation. Here's what he says: "Peace be multiplied unto you." Are the words of a Christian, and they sound strange coming from the lips of a heathen king. He's now saying, worshiping God, "Peace be multiplied unto you." God changes his mind. This is, I'm reading a preview. We're going ahead a little bit. Then we're going to come back. This is a preview. What happens to him after God deals with him, after God makes him go on his knees and makes him go as an option for 7 years. Now we'll get to that in a moment, how God deals with him. But these are the things that he says, coming from the lips of this heathen king. He'd been in warfare for the purpose of building up a world empire, but his dreams and experience had taught him that his kingdom was not to last forever. And we saw in the image, the first image of the gold, of the silver, of the brass, and down to the clay, we saw that the images decreased, that they were only for a season. And every kingdom and this world and everything that man sets up is only but for a season. It will not last, for there is another kingdom. And that's the kingdom Almighty God. And John says in the book of Revelations, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth coming down from God out of heaven above."
Amen.
This stone kingdom of the Most High would be an everlasting kingdom whose dominion would last from generation to generation. The main part of the proclamation is taken up with an account of a dream which King Nebuchadnezzar had, and an interpretation and fulfillment of his own experience. Now we're going to see this troubled king, and if we read from verse 4. "I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace, saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the vision of my head troubled me. Therefore made I decree to bring all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers, and told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto them the interpretation of the dream." The proclamation begins with the significant words, "I." I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. It sounds like the scripture in Luke 16 verse 19. And in Luke 16 verse 19 it says, "There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But God came for him. His life was required for him. He went to hell and he lifted his eyes up out of hell, being in torment. And man in his best is but dust, and he's but the clay of the earth. And the Bible says, let him that standeth take heed, lest he fall." And this King Nebuchadnezzar was boasting when he looked out and he saw his hanging gardens, one of the seven wonders of the world. He was boasting, he's praising in himself of the wonders he'd accomplished and the great things he'd done in this province of Babylon, and perhaps reached across many parts of the world. But God was going to deal with him, and God was going to judge him. He cared little for the misery of others, for his thoughts were self-centered. And there's many today, "Don't worry about nobody else. It's all about me." This started off with "I." And that's the way it is with many today. It's "I." It's not the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? Self-centered. And taken up with his own greatness. He was at rest because he had conquered all the enemies. He was familiar with the perils of the battlefield and had faced them without fear. And now, in the quiet and rest of his palace with no enemy to fear him, he was troubled by a dream. And you know the thing that amazes me with this dream? Why did he call for Daniel? He knew those astrologers and soothsayers, they were useless. They couldn't interpret any of the other dreams. He didn't know them. And here again in chapter 4, and he makes the same mistake again. He keeps making the same mistake again and again and again. And I tell you, there's nowhere we can go but to Jesus.
Right.
Let's not make a mistake of going here or going yonder for rest. There's only one place of security. That's in the arms of Jesus Christ. but he failed to do it. He called for the astrologers and magicians, and they knew the dream this time. The other time he had forgotten the dream. This time he knows the dream. This time he tells them the dream, and they still can't interpret it. I tell you, he had this empire built up. He probably would not have ceased. Probably wouldn't have cared much, but he realized that in some way this dream was to do with him. He was anxious, therefore, to have it interpreted, so he sent for the wise men of Babylon. And while at this time he had forgotten this dream, they still couldn't interpret it. Never sent for Daniel. Look at chapter 8. Then he eventually sends for Daniel. But at last Daniel came in before him. Do you hear these words? At last. At last Daniel came in before him. I tell you, we can try here and try there and try yonder, but it's Jesus Christ we need to try.
Hallelujah.
The old song says, I tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but all the waters failed, and as I stooped to drink, they mocked me and I wailed. Here was a man he knew he could trust. Here was a man he knew had the interpretation, and yet why is he not sent for him? And these words says, but at last Daniel come before him. When you've tried everything, come to Jesus.
Amen.
Reminds me of the story Jack Coe told. It's a true one. For a woman stood in his prayer line, and that was in the 50s when God was pouring out his spirit in a mighty wave of healing across the world and the nations. And a woman stood before Jack Coe and he prayed for her, and he overheard her saying, I've tried Branham, I've tried Hicks, I've tried Roberts, I've tried Allen, now I've tried Coe, and they've all failed. And Jack Coe said, you're a child of the devil. And she said, what do you mean, Brother Coe? He says, you're a child of the devil. He said, you've ran after man.
Yes,
but have you ever ran after Jesus?
Right.
And he said, there, you need to repent. And you need to ask God to forgive you because you followed after a man. You've sought to the man for your healing and you haven't sought to the Lord. All them men were men of God, but Jesus is the only healer.
Glory. Amen.
And she repented and called, prayed for her again, and God healed her.
Glory. Amen.
Here this king sends for Daniel at last, whose name was Belteshazzar, and he called them that after his gods. According to the name of my God, there you are. And in whom in the spirit of the holy gods, and before him I told the dream. You see, he still is referring to Daniel, and he's still referring to gods. He still has never learned his lesson that there's one true God. He still has never learned his lesson of the Almighty God. But we're going to see that God gives him a real lesson. God does not want us to seek after the astrologers and the soothsayers or the physicians either, he says. Do you know the word of God says that? Seek not after the physicians. Seek after the Lord. That's the Bible. See, Wigglesworth said we're living in an age where the ministry of divine healing will almost be impossible because people are so reliant on other things. And I can see that today. There's so much unbelief about it. It's hard to pray for people. Look what he says about the Caesar, master of the magicians. Because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee. Tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen. Look, you go down to verse 10. Thus were the visions of my head and my bed, and I saw, behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. Thus Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 11, the tree grew and was strong, and the sight thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the ends of the earth. Its kingdom reached everywhere. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit there much, and in it was meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heavens dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all the flesh was fed of it. Now you keep reading. Verse 17 is a key verse. Keep reading while I get into this morning for a moment or two. God is likening this man to the tree. This is the dream of the tree. And this is the dream of this tree that's going to be wet with the dew of heaven, because God is going to bring Nebuchadnezzar to his knees, and God While Nebuchadnezzar was wondering with the vision of the tree met, he saw descend from heaven watchers of the Holy One. Get this now. I want you to get this morning. In verse 17, this matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the Holy Ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over the beast of the field. Now remember, these are the words of Nebuchadnezzar. So when he takes these words and he says, watchers and holy ones, I believe it's the angels of the Lord. I want you to see this morning. There's something in this portion I want you to get here this morning. There's a court in heaven above, and there's watchers that's watching over this earth, that's watching over you, that's watching over me. Does the word of God say the angels of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear the Lord?
Yeah.
And you read some of the readers, and they don't know much about this verse, and they can't really seem to interpret it right, but the Bible interprets it, and God's prophet can interpret it. And he heard this voice, and these watchers come down, and they come down with a message. And the message was for Nebuchadnezzar. And I tell you, when God sends an angel down with a message, we need to hear that message. We can't bluff it off and say, it's not important to be mentioned. It's not important to be said. But you need to listen when God does that. Now I want to deal with this for a moment this morning. And this voice come down from these watchers. And I've called this the court of the watchers or the holy ones. Now I'm going to give you some references, and then I'm going to come back to this and explain it more. But let me read you this. Now these are my own words first. God's angels are watchers all through scriptures. The eye of the Lord, they're everywhere. I could take you to the Ezekiel, and I could show you the wheel in the midst of the wheel. And when it went backwards, it still went forward. When it went sideways, it still went forward. And it was full of the eyes of the Lord going to and fro through the whole earth.
Amen.
I tell you this morning, that's real.
Hallelujah.
When these angels come down, they're coming down with a message. And I tell you, it's a serious thing. When God sends down an angel with a message, it's a serious thing. These watchers have been watching, and there was a court in heaven, and this court had decided this man needs judgment. Just like Sodom and Gomorrah. Didn't God say to Abraham, didn't God say, we will go down? Don't you read? We will go down and see what's happening. And Abraham pleads with God of his 50, Lord. You know the story, there's 100 of his 50. And he pleads and he pleads for Sodom and Gomorrah. And Lot's in Sodom and Gomorrah. And God sends down two angels. And all the Trinitarian preachers, when they get into that scripture and they call it the Trinity, when the three came to Abraham, they called the Trinity. But Brother Branham says, Abraham, being a prophet, said, my Lord, singular, not Trinity. And those two messengers went down to Sodom. And they brought Lot out. And God sent no revival to Sodom. He sent judgment. And I want to tell you this morning, we are living in the last of the Gentile dispensation and judgments in this earth. And if you knew your day that you're living in, you would know what I'm telling you is right by the Bible. We're living in the last of the last days. I'm not saying God won't move. We want God to move. He has moved. We're here. Others are saved because God moved. But I tell you, God's not going to turn his back on what's going on. If he does, he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Let me read you this. From a message called North and That Sea, the world don't know what this is. You know it's on. Listen to this. We know what time it is, see. We know it's investigating judgment angels. Are you hearing this? It's investigating judgment angels, you see. And how at the Pentagon and all about had come right down and the intelligence, and they could say, brother, and he snaps his fingers, go like a flash and be gone and pull away from anywhere they got. See, they don't realize what it is. See, let them think whatever they want to call it, flying saucers, whatever. They don't know what it is, but it's investigating angels. And God in the 20th century has sent investigating angels. And they don't know what it is. They call it flying saucer. They call it what? And you know, it left the mark in the clouds, the face of Jesus. I know people have tried to discredit it. But I wouldn't give tuppence for what they're preaching, what they're saying. You watch their life. I tell you, God visited this generation. God visited. And God sent an investigating angel. And a brother John, if he shares it next week, it's up to himself. But he had a visit himself. And he can tell you, when the angels of the Lord move, there's nothing on the face of this earth can move like the angel of the Lord. And when the Bible said, from eternity to time, faster than you can bat your eye, came the angels of the Lord. Amen. And in the message called the flashing red light was coming, he said the angel will sweep down and pick you up. This is serious. These watchers has come down to Nebuchadnezzar in this dream, and they spoke to them. And I tell you, his pride's going to be knocked out of them. And they're going to know who God is. We're living in a serious hour. You know, Revelation 10:7 says, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. Now tell me the truth this morning in this assembly here in Scarborough this morning. Tell me the truth in this assembly. How many assemblies over this country this morning will recognize this scripture, Revelation 10:7, that the seventh angel's message has been sent? How many recognize it? They want nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. You say it's not important. You better take it out of your Bible then. And if you do, remember what Revelation says, take not from the word, or add not to it. It's in there for a reason. We're living in the last days. This is the days where it says in Malachi 4:5-6, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. What for? Before the great and dreadful day of the Lord come. This, what's going to happen, Nebuchadnezzar, is a type of the tribulation. 7 years. 3.5 years of sorrow. 3.5 years of tribulation. And it's coming upon this earth. And God's Spirit's going to be lifted away. You say, I don't believe that. Then you don't believe what Nebuchadnezzar's dream was. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. And the Lord's taking his bride of this earth. She's going to go home. There's going to be a collection. You're going to be taken away. And I tell you, it's not time to play church. It's time to get real with God.
All right. Amen.
These watchers come down. Let me read you some scriptures. Ezekiel 1:18. As for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful. And the rings were full of eyes round about them. 4. And this is about the wheel in the midst of the wheel. In Ezekiel, you can read it. This is the eyes of the Lord. Zechariah 4:10, for who have despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those 7. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. God's got watchers. God's got holy ones. Isaiah 62:6, have set watchmen upon the walls of Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace, day or night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. These are only some examples. I'll show you more in a moment. This is serious. This man's in trouble. God's not made. so far, and I don't want you to miss it. But I believe it's the Holy Spirit is impressing on this assembly and wherever else hears this, that we are to worship no other but the Lord Jesus Christ. This is emphasized through the book of Daniel. I hope I'm bringing it out. It's my job to bring it out. The Lord will give us glory to no other, not even a prophet. Only the Lord. God has his eyes everywhere with his watchers. Court of the watchers. Listen to this. They made a decree to which case Nebuchadnezzar had been referred. His case was referred to heaven. This is serious. That he was condemned to live as a beast for a period of 7 years. The purpose of the decree was that the inhabitants of the earth might know the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of man. And give to them that whomsoever he will, the book of Daniel reveals a close connection between the earth and the spirit world. There's a close connection between the earth and the spirit world. There's three heavens. Do you mean literally heaven, brother? No. Understand me this morning. This atmosphere we call the heavens. How many know that? They say, look at the heavens today. But there is one true heaven. But there's the heaven. And then Satan dwells in between the heaven and the heavens out there, you see. Because the Bible says he's the prince of the power of the earth. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. It's that spirit that's influencing our governments. It's that spirit that's influencing our children. It's that spirit that's influencing the schools. It's that spirit that influences the world today. It's that spirit that prints the power of the earth. It's called the spirit of disobedience. Of ungodliness. Even a brother mentioned, you see, it's all, you know, peace and lovey, lovey-dovey. And you know, the wolf can't be killed, the pig can't be killed, they will cut his throat and throw him up and eat him. Pray over him and get to him. That's the Bible. Anything that's bland, and you pray over, Paul says you can eat it, even a dirty pig. Not the Bible. But you see, it's all this forbidding tomorrow. Abstaining from meat, these are the signs of the end time. Timothy tells us that. From such are doctrines of devils. And I want you to see this closeness between heaven and earth. It's a realm that's not far away. In Daniel 9 verse 21, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I seen in the vision at the beginning, caused to fly swiftly, touched me by the time of the evening oblation. God sent an angel to Daniel. I tell you, God can send an angel. I know God sent me an angel in jail. I know that God sent me the same angel in Czechoslovakia. I know that God done it. Nobody will ever change me. When you've had an experience, nobody will take it from you. And if nobody believes it, so what? You know it happened. In Daniel 10 verse 4, and you could read right through it. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is, this is Hedekiel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the burn, and his face as the appearance of lightning, his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like the colour of the polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled and they hid themselves. People speak against visitations of God today as if it's nothing, but when it happened at the time, there never was a word. They quaked in their boots. You can read this. I don't want to go into this all for the sake of time this morning. But I'm only giving you an example of how that they come and visited Daniel, supernatural beings. And just like the devil's a leader of his man, God's a leader in heaven as well, called Gabriel. How many believes that? There's an army of angels. Do you believe that? Oh, I do. I tell you, it's real. Multitudes of angels. You know, when Brother Brian listened to the wee song in the They were singing hallelujah, and then the angels joined in. What about that? You ever heard that? That's the truth. Ephesians 6, verse 11 and 12. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're told to put on the whole armor of God. Look at these high places. There are three heavens spoken of in Scripture. The first is the atmosphere of the earth. The third is the heaven where God dwells. The second is an intermediate heaven where the principalities and powers of evil are. I tell you, it's real. Comprising of the kingdom of Satan dwell. Satan is a prince of the power of the earth, and he has many subordinate princes who are delegated to his obstructive work. Two of them are mentioned by Daniel. The prince of Persia, the prince of Greece, Daniel 10, verse 13 to 20. You can read it. And you can read of these demon princes, these devils. And there's a prince coming at the end too. How many knows that? And he's going to make a pact with Israel. You know, that's the dragon. He's the devil. From this it would look as if Satan had a delegated prince for every nation. Listen to this, for every nation to be superintendent of his work. He tells there's princes to every nation, and those princes are over demons, and he assigns certain devils to certain people. Listen to me this morning. I'll tell you, this might go beyond you a bit, but this is real. He assigns certain demons to certain people, and whatever your weakness is, or my weakness is, he tries to work in that, and he's trying to influence you with it. Whether it's pornography, or alcohol, or cigarettes, or some other thing, he tries to work in that to bring you down, to defeat you, so that you don't feel to pray, so that you don't feel to worship, so that you don't feel to serve God. That's why when we come to church, we need to create an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit. I tell you, God can send a breakthrough. Demons are a sign. You know, the Bible speaks of a spirit of infirmity. That's a devil. The spirit of infirmity, the devil that wants to afflict people with sickness and diseases. Not many preach about it, but the Bible talks about it. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me. He has sent me to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, to open the blinded eyes, to stop the undeaf ears, to cast out, to heal, to break the chains, the fetters, to release, and set people free.
Amen. Glory. Hallelujah.
That's why we need the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Nothing less will do.
Amen.
I want you to see this. Delegated. So the great and powerful are these princes, that it takes the power and strength of Michael. Listen to these this morning. The archangel, the commander-in-chief of the armies of heaven, to overcome them. Daniel 10, verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes. Hallelujah! God's got his army. Praise God. To come and help me and remain there with me. The kings of Persia. Jude 1 verse 9. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring a real accusation against him, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. God buried Moses. Nobody knew where he was buried. The devil had a wee argument about it. Let me tell you this morning, Moses is in heaven. How do you know, brother? Because when I read the scriptures, it says that Moses and Elijah appeared with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. Glory to God. In the Bible, some book. Give it a hallelujah. Is the Bible the truth? No book like the Bible. Thank God for the Word of God. Revelations 12, verse 7 and 9. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels. War. There's two companies of angels fighting this war. I want to tell you, brother or sister, when you get down to prayer, there's demons assigned. Hear me this morning, I feel led to say this. There's demons assigned to certain people. And I want to say this. If someone belonging to you or belonging to me are releasing from the past of certain things in their lives that followed them, that unclean devil tries to come up and attach to the next generation. That's why we need to go to the cross of Calvary and plead the blood of Jesus. And break the spirits of our forefathers and all the tradition that we're trying to cling on. Amen. Needs to be broken by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. So that no devil can come on our children or come on you. We need to plead the blood of Jesus.
Glory.
Live a holy life to God.
Hallelujah.
Do you believe it this morning? Hallelujah. And I tell you, God will help you. I said the Lord will help you. Don't receive what the devil wants to give you. Receive what God wants to give you. Receive your healing. Receive your blessing in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank God for the word of God.
Glory.
The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth some people, know the whole world. Cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. That's the powers of evil in the heavenlies, as well as the conduct of earthly powers, may be popularly controlled and officially passed upon. There's a judicial court in heaven. Listen to me this morning. There's a judicial court in heaven before which their cases are tried, and the book of Daniel calls it the court of the watchers. God's watching his people. How do you know, brother? Oh, isn't it beautiful? I was thinking of that song. His eye is on the sparrow. And his eye is on you.
Amen.
Are you hearing me this morning?
Hallelujah.
The Lord watches over his own. His eye is on the sparrow. And his eye is on you. I tell you, when you commit yourself to the Lord, it'll come out right. For the Lord's with you. Whose decrees, as in the case of Nebuchadnezzar, there was a decree made. The voice come down, the watchers come down. The vision of the tree of the Holy One who changed the word it to the personal pronoun his. God is speaking first. Let's read it in the scripture. Verse 13 of Daniel 4. And I saw in the vision of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and Holy One came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, hew down the tree and cut off its branches, shake off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it and the fowls from its branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump. Now you know when you cut a tree back to the stump, it will never live, it will never survive unless it rebuds. How many knows that? It's gone. And God was going to cut this man down. And the dew of heaven. Look at this. Nevertheless, leave the stump of the roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass and the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the grass of the earth. Verse 16, let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let 7 times pass over him, which is interpreted as 7 years. This matter is by the decree of the watchers. There was a meeting held, and they decided judgment. And the demand by the word of the Holy Ones to intend that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of man, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the beast of man. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen now about thee, said to declare the interpretation thereof. For as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the Holy God is in thee. See, he's still talking about the Holy God. He's never learned. There's one God. I'm going to have to close. Just a couple more minutes. You enjoying the word of God?
Amen.
When Daniel heard the dream, he was greatly troubled. Daniel didn't rush in on him with a word.
Daniel didn't rush at him to take the legs from him. Daniel liked this man. I believe that. Daniel, I believe, was praying for him. Perhaps praying for his conversion. I believe that. And remember that God eventually transforms this king. And he believes God. Remember that. My, you can see predestination in this. And for 1 hour, was astonished to speak, Daniel. Not that he didn't know the meaning of the dream, but he dreaded to tell the king the pleasant news. When, however, the king, who seemed to realize the personal character of the dream, assured him that he need not fear to tell Daniel. Then Daniel, to prepare the king for the judgment that was to come upon him, said, "My lord, the dream be to them that hate thee." He wanted to give him a gently. "An interpretation thereof to thine enemies, that is, I wish not that the calamity that has befallen you might fall on their enemies." I was wise, a wise answer that paved the way to give them the truth. This is some lesson for all of us. We need to watch how we talk to people. You can't shovel up a meat in first. Say, "Eat that." It starts with the milk of the word. Amen. I'm going to have to close. I'm dying to go on, but I'm going to have to stop. How many wants to hear more? 3:30, we're going to continue. Ain't that something? How God sent them down, them watchers. And they came with a message. I want to tell you, the Lord loves you this morning. And when thoughts come to you, and things come upon you, to make you think wrong things, that's a demon. That's a devil. That's why the Bible says we're to cast down all reasoning. Yes. And all vain imagination. Amen. Let's stand our feet. I'm going to pray, and our brother Gary's going to come. Praise God. Maybe there's somebody here this morning, and I'm going to say this. Maybe you feel that something's trying to hold on to you. From the past, and it comes to you and it tortures you. I want to tell you, Jesus settled that at Calvary. The blood of Jesus breaks every fetter. You be sincere. I'm not even going to ask anybody to raise your hand. But I want you to be sincere this morning. And if there's somebody listening in, you better watch. Because God can bring judgment when you least expect it. And you need to be right with God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for your word. We pray you bless your word to our hearts. I pray, Lord Jesus, you'll cover every one of us with the precious blood of the Lamb of God. Father, that you'll break every fetter. And you'll bless your own children. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. As a brother comes, because the time's called.